So Alex looked at me because I was grabbing this little lectern and had notes, and he says, "Are you getting serious?" I'm not too serious, but I'm also not joking around. So let's pay careful attention to these notes that I'm going to share with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. So last year during the Wednesday night book study, we started "Our Thoughts Determine Our Lives" by Elder Thaddeus of Serbia. And the men who meet on Tuesday mornings are also taking up that same book, "Our Thoughts Determine Our Lives." It's a very catchy title. I want you to think about that for a second. How we think determines our life. You know, it's interesting that the 20th century produced some very holy elders who are slowly but surely being canonized as saints. Elder Thaddeus himself has not been canonized yet, but he probably will be. There was another elder, Paisios of the Holy Mountain, who is now Saint Paisios of the Holy Mountain. He has since been canonized. And there are other elders, and all of them focused on the way we think. And it's not by accident, because the second half of the 20th century, and certainly the 21st century, is characterized by a bombardment of information. The post-industrial paradigm in the digital world, the internet, smartphones, mobile devices, they allow the whole entire universe to be in our heads. There's more information coming at us, and it is changing so exponentially fast that there's no way that we can process it. We are so plugged in constantly from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, and even young people are plugged in while they're sleeping. There is no respite from the amount of stimuli and information that causes thoughts upon thoughts upon thoughts. And so no wonder the malady of the 21st century is anxiety. People are reactive and anxious, chronically so. So much so that they're sick from it. That we have more diseases and disorders being caused by anxiety than probably ever before in the history of humankind. So watchfulness over our thoughts is extremely important. And everything that I'm going to share with you comes from St. John of Damascus, who lived in the 9th century. And when he wrote on the Holy Trinity, he said, "I will say nothing of my own. Everything that I say is what has been said before me and held in everywhere at all times by all." And this is also true of what he says on thoughts. So he starts out by listing 8 different general impassioned thoughts that Satan, our own weakness, and the fallen world throws at us. And I want to go over each one of those very briefly. Gluttony is the first category of thoughts that comes into our mind. This has to do with overeating. It has to do with being overly particular in what we eat. It has to do with living to eat instead of eating in order to live. So throwing our appetites out of balance. This is gluttony. Unchastity is another category of thoughts that we get bombarded with in order to separate us from God and our true selves. Unchastity has to do with impurity, immodesty, being unfaithful in marriage, and distorted in general in our sexuality. The third is avarice. Avarice is greedy for wealth and material gain. It's not providing for your family. It's not in being responsible. It's a distortion. It's greediness, and we get obsessed with material wealth and storing up so that we feel secure. Anger is the fourth one. I probably don't have to define that for you, but it's a strong feeling of annoyance or displeasure or hostility. And unfortunately, it's usually at fellow human beings or even at ourselves. Dejection is the fifth one. Dejection is a sad or depressed state. And I want us not to think of hereditary or clinical depression. We're not talking about that. We're talking about depressive, melancholy, sad thoughts that come into our head. Number six is listlessness or slothfulness. This is lethargy, disinclined to exert effort, sometimes called laziness, a lack of interest in things, apathy. The seventh is vainglory, in Greek, kenodoxia, empty glory. And that's a really apt definition for it. It's substituting the glory or the praise of God for the glory or praise of our fellow human beings. It is empty, keno, as I said in its Greek word. And the last, but not the least, certainly not the least, is pride. Pride is taking credit for God's work. It's forgetting God and focusing on ourselves. It's really self-worship. So any thought that comes into our mind that is impassioned, in other words, that is not from God and is not healthy, it does not lie within our power to decide whether or not these thoughts come into our mind. It is tantamount, as St. Paisios of the Holy Mountain said, to a bird flying over your head. You have no control over that. But as he says, you do have control whether you allow that bird to make a nest in your hair. And so you have control of whether you give in to the thought that enters your head. It's no sin to have the thought, but it is a sin to give in to it. So what we're going to talk about is seven terms that St. John and all of the fathers talk about with regard to the process of watchfulness. The first is provocation. Provocation is what we say in Greek as logismos, if you've ever heard that word. It is an unhealthy thought. Like I said, it either comes from Satan or his demons. It comes from our own weakness, or it comes from the fallen world. But it does not come from God. Provocation means that this is a suggestion from the enemy. Do this or do that, like we see in the life of Jesus when he is tempted in the wilderness. The devil says, command these stones to become bread. The thought alone did not cause Jesus to sin, for we know he was sinless. He had the choice, even God had the choice, to give into that thought or to reject it. That is provocation. We are having provocations come into our head all the time. What do we do? The second term is coupling. Coupling means accepting the thought suggested by the enemy or our weakness or the fallen world. It means dwelling on the thought and choosing deliberately to dally with it in a pleasurable manner, in a curious manner. The third is passion itself. Passion is used in Scripture and certainly by the Holy Fathers. It doesn't mean passion like we might say in a positive sense in our day. I am passionate about church. That's not a sin. I am passionate about fly fishing. That could be a sin for me. I have to be careful. But passion in this sense is a distortion of God-given pure natural energies of the human person. And the fathers divide these natural energies or powers into three. The intelligent powers, our ability to know God, to understand him, to learn about him, to express him to other people. Our insensitive powers, The ability to stand firm, to hate what is evil and to cling what is good, to fight injustice and to seek justice, to want to know the truth, to do battle with the devil. This is our insensitive powers. And then the third one is our appetitive powers, which I think are self-explanatory. We have desire for things. We are physical. We live in a physical world. We have to eat. We have to drink. We need sleep. All of this falls under the pure appetitive powers. But when these get distorted because of the fall, then they express themselves in these passions. And I already listed them: gluttony, unchastity, avarice, anger, dejection, listlessness, vainglory, and pride. So, a provocation has built into it the suggestion of a passion. And all of us have passions. Some of us habitually give into our passions, and so there's a groove in our minds and in our hearts and in our habits. Some of us have not so given in to certain passions, and so we're not as prone to them. The next term I want to share with you is wrestling. We have the provocation, the thought comes in. Do we couple with it or do we not couple with it? Do we dally with it or do we not dally with it? When you have young children and you're going to, let's say, the Grand Canyon, there is a fence barring your young children from that canyon, and you tell them, don't even get near the fence. Certainly don't step over to the other side of the fence, because why? It's a very slippery slope. They could easily slide without realizing it down into the canyon. So stay away. This is what we have the choice to do when we have provocation thoughts: to wrestle against it or not to wrestle against it. The next term is captivity. Captivity is if you decide to dally with it and get too close to the edge and you start slipping down that slope and you lose the wrestling match, then this impassioned thought will hold you captive. And you will begin to do it over and over and over again habitually. It will hold you as a slave. It will have a right over you. And in order to free yourself from that captivation, that captivity is a spiritual battle. It is so much better in the wrestling to flee that thought from the beginning. After captivity comes assent. Assent is where you have given your permission. And then the last term is actualization. Then that thought becomes a part of your life. Just as Elder Thaddeus says, our thoughts determine our lives. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when we are going through our everyday life, this whole process from provocation to coupling to wrestling to captivity to ascent to actualization happens that fast. It's such an immediate, visceral process. Until you begin to start watching over your mind, to try to be present in each moment, to try to be aware of where you are at, what you are thinking. Then you begin to notice these provocations as they're coming toward you, before they've already wreaked havoc in your heart. And that's where you want to cut them off from the beginning. If you cut them off, you call yourself back to the present. You say a prayer like the Jesus prayer. You do something that brings you soberly back to the now. None of the other things that I listed will take place. And you will be free from that impassioned thought. And I want to close with a quote from St. John of Damascus himself. At the end of talking about all this, he says the following: when the spiritual intellect, the nous, the eye of the heart, has been freed in this way from the passions and been raised up to God, it will henceforth live the life of blessedness receiving the pledge of the Holy Spirit, and when it departs this life, healed of all passions and full of true knowledge, it will stand before the light of the Holy Trinity, and with the divine angels will shine in glory through all eternity. My dear brothers and sisters, we want to be healed of all the distortions. We want to be truly human. We want to be free. We want to be present, because only in the present can we encounter God and God encounter us. We want to be present in our relationships with one another. We don't want to be distracted. We want to be free from all the bombardment that comes from uncritically living life in the 21st century. So I pray that you exercise watchfulness and that your thoughts, good thoughts, holy thoughts, pure thoughts, undistorted thoughts, does indeed determine your life, and that your life is in Christ and that you are truly human. Amen.